All right, welcome back to the Film Experience Podcast. We're trying a little experiment today. I'm Nathaniel from the Film Experience, and I'm here with Joe Reed from The Wire.
Hey, guys.
And today we're going to go to North Shore High, and we're going to record a commentary for Mean Girls.
I could not have told you what the name of the high school was at this. I'm glad you led with that. I always think all these teen high schools are Westerberg High because of Heathers.
Right. Well, it does have many Heathers elements.
Oh, of course.
So we're going to, if you want to watch along at home, this, it's meant to be a commentary. So we're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and press play.
Yeah. All right.
So cue up your DVDs. Alrighty, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right.
And now I've got some clouds. My DVD's starting.
Oh, man, that classic Flying Stars Paramount logo.
I do love the Paramount logo.
It's really good. It's one of those, it's so good that I always, like, am afraid that they're going to update it and do something with it that I don't like. I feel like if anything stays constant, weirdly, it's the production company logos. We're always going to get Annette Bening on the Columbia logo.
No, but they do change. Like, the Universal one has gone through lots of, like,
yeah,
iterations.
And I feel like the Universal one is, fine, like, facelifts and stuff like that, which is, like, fine.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I always forget that it's Anna Gasteyer and Neil Flynn as her parents. There are parts of this movie that I, like, I tend to forget, and this is a lot of the, we're going to try and tie in the theme of the book a little bit more. The whole thing where, like, she's lived in Africa her whole life, and she has this weird anthropological view on high school, because that's a lot of what the movie was about.
The Queen Bee and other...
Queen Bees and wannabes, yeah.
The homeschooling part.
Yes.
Like, these religious kids, I bet they went and saw Son of God and God's Not Dead this year.
That's probably very true. And we'll end up seeing... what's the other one?
Heaven is Real.
Oh my God, yeah.
And how... I'm sorry, like, I don't want this whole thing to be like a eulogy for Lindsay Lohan, but how just naturally pretty is she in this movie? It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I forget, too, that the bus foreshadowed.
Yes. Yeah, foreshadowing, A-plus foreshadowing, because it's not even a big deal.
How about that, filmmaking 101? Very good.
Okay, I want you to pay attention to something about the credits here, because I did start this to try to prep a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're just watching the names. Like, I know you did a piece at The Wire on, what do you call it, the hierarchy of, like, who's important based on
based
on then versus now, which was a really interesting piece. I highly recommend.
Thanks.
But I was surprised at the order that the names come up.
Yes.
And then this right here, Janice and Damien.
Yep.
Lizzie Kaplan and Daniel Frenzies. What that means, if they had nominated this for SAG Best Ensemble, they would not have been nominated.
Yep. Now that I know that that's the rule, it drives me crazy. Watching, like, Amanda Seyfried. Amanda Seyfried shares her credit with two other people, wouldn't be in the SAG nomination. Like, and, like, that sounds crazy to have, like, a teen comedy with that consideration, except this would have deserved a SAG nomination for Ensemble. It would never have gotten it, but it would have absolutely deserved it, because the cast here is top to bottom really fantastic.
Well, and also, I think it's worth the scene. I always forget this part, too.
Oh, God. Yeah, Tina Fey is so... and this was pre-30 Rock, yes? 2004 would have been, by a couple years pre-30 Rock. So she was still, like, primarily a writer doing, like, acting on the side, basically. So, yeah. God, she's so funny. She's so good.
I accidentally hit fast forward, and I'm like, oh no, I hope I'm still in sync. Turn up the volume for a second, see where I am.
Okay.
Good day, everybody. Are we there?
I'm currently watching a old school Windows screensaver behind Lindsay in one of the two shots, which is great. That really brings me back.
So where are you now? I'm going to try to get back to where you were.
Oh, Tina and Tim Meadows are discussing her
I jumped ahead
questionable teaching strategy. They also have the joke that is tell in the trailer.
Tell me when he exits. Tell me when he says goodbye, everybody.
He just did. He just did that very second. Yeah. And now Lindsay is walking down the urban jungle of high school that she doesn't understand because she's a homeschooled child of the savannah. Yeah, it was really, I mean, the adaptation for this movie from the book was very interesting. I had actually read Teen Bees and Wannabes. This was while I was working at the college library of my alma mater, and that book was sort of floating around. And I knew that it was being made into a movie, so I picked it up and I read it. And it's actually, there is no narrative in this. It's a, like, advice book, a sort of sociological study about high school and about teen girls in high school. And so I always have admired that sort of degree of difficulty adaptation, where Tina Fey sort of, like, read that book, obviously found it really interesting, and decided to adapt it into a teen comedy, which is maybe not the first... Mm-hmm. You know, your first instinct when you read that book.
So where are you now?
She just sat down next to Janice and Damien in math class. Oh my god, the clips all up in Janice's hair.
Hi, I'm like, Katie. Sorry. Just to make sure I'm where you are.
Yeah, okay.
So, can I just say the costuming is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, Janice's rubbish t-shirt.
Yep.
Or tank top is so perfect, and it's the same, I believe the same day that Regina George is wearing that a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
And so they both have these tech shirts, and they're so indicative of their characters. It's amazing.
Yeah, and Damien's got something on his that I can't quite see. Damien, by the way, and I love that the actor, Daniel Francis?
I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Officially, publicly came out this week in that article.
Yes.
Interestingly tied into the anniversary of Mean Girls. I like somebody with a sense of occasion.
Yes.
Because, like, God, that's me. Like, this guy is just me if I was maybe turned up another couple notches, certainly in high school.
The little cutaways that this movie has a lot, like the safe sex class.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. Like, cutaways are often, like, cliche jokes, like, you know exactly when to expect them.
Yeah.
But they really work in this movie.
Yeah. Well, and there's a temptation to credit maybe probably more of this movie to Tina Fey than is necessarily true, because she is the screenwriter but not the director.
Right.
But cutaways were such a staple of 30 Rock when 30 Rock was in its heyday that it always sort of makes me think of that.
Okay, so the plastics have just arrived.
I do love a good classic shot of, like, three people astride, strutting down. And this is sort of, like, not quite there yet. We'll have that scene for real later in the hallway.
And
but
can,
like,
we also talk about the music scoring right here, though, the introduction of the plastics, which is actually kind of a casual introduction because they're sort of in long shot.
Yeah.
But the, like, the Missy Elliott, hey, 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 I'm what's happening right here with Regina George is so perfect for film scoring.
Yeah. Do you remember the trailer for this at all?
No.
Where when they're introducing the different characters, and you're getting this same sort of voiceover where they're explaining them, and it's all set to Milkshake, the Khalees song, which I thought was kind of perfect, too.
Oh, the little testimonials about Regina.
Yes! Two Fendi purses and a silver Lexus.
It was awesome. So where are you exactly right now?
She punched me in the face. It was awesome. Yeah, I remember, speaking of the trailer, how skeptical or even dismissive people were of this movie before it came out.
Yes.
And
even
I remember...
Me, I'll just admit, I was like, oh, it looks like a total Heather's wannabe, which in some respect, it borrows a lot from Heather's.
Yeah.
But it's its own thing. The more you watch it, it definitely brings a lot to the genre.
Yeah, well, and I feel like people had sort of, Heather's had happened and Clueless had happened, and people had once again sort of felt safe in dismissing all teen comedies as junk. And I just remember I was sort of holding on with both hands to this, like, but Tina Fey wrote it. It could be really, really interesting. And I think Lindsay Lohan, I think you were kind of very early on the Lindsay Lohan respect bandwagon, which I really respect. Like, you were super into the Freaky Friday remake.
Yeah.
But I still think
and
a lot
of... I thought
of,
she was great in Parent Trap, too.
Yeah. But I think most people at this time sort of just felt like she was, you know, interchangeable with Hilary Duff, which is sacrilege.
But this scene right here where you get the survey of the cafeteria.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do think this is an area where it surpasses Heather's in a way, even though Heather's is sort of the be-all and end-all for me of teen comedies. It also, you know, goes back to what you're saying about the adaptation of the book. It's really sort of this entire microcosm of high school.
Yeah.
Whereas other teen comedies, I feel like they just focus on their main characters.
Yes.
But there's all of these peripheral stuff in Mean Girls that is so, like, so consistent and coherent.
You get a good sense of just how chaotic high school life is in a big school, which I never went to. I went to a very small school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it gives a really good sense of there's a ton of just a ton of people, and there's just a ton of different people. And still the fact that, like, these plastics sort of float above that is all the more terrifying.
Yeah. And the Regina George, shut up.
Yeah.
is so great.
Every time I see this movie, I think I come away more and more just fascinated with Rachel McAdams' performance in this. She gets it so perfectly. She gets that character entirely.
Well, and hello, Kara and Amanda Seyfried as well.
Yeah. You can't just...
What?
Oh my god. No, I'm just looking at, I'm watching Lacey Chabert and just, like, dying laughing. And it's, you know, she's the eternal mystery of this movie, where everybody else...
Yeah.
Everybody else, Daniel Francis, I guess not either, but really just got such a jump from this. All the girls in this cast got such a jump from it, and then she didn't, and I feel bad. And I guess maybe she had more pre-success with this than almost anybody with Party of Five. So it's really interesting.
So she would have gotten a SAG nomination.
Yeah.
to bring it back.
Yeah, totally.
Are you a Danny DeVito, I Love Your Work?
I'm just about it. Yep. There we go. Oh, my God. Kills me every time.
It's such a random old reference that like people aren't going to maybe get in 20 years, but they'll probably still be watching this movie.
I want to do a listicle of gay characters in girls' bathrooms throughout pop culture. Because, like, this always reminds me of how Ricky in My So-Called Life was just a staple in the girls' bathroom there. And every once in a while, you'd get, like, Sharon sort of, like, looking at him askance.
Uh-huh.
But it was just like, what? This is what I do. Like, this is how it happens. Cut it out.
The introduction of
Aaron Samuels. Oh, perfectly cast, dreamy boy with maybe nothing else going on.
I love Lindsay's first rejection, too. It's a fun cutaway.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of really good cutaways in this.
Yeah, I had never really connected that to 30 Rock, but and I know, I mean, cutaways are probably scripted to some degree. I just wonder how much they change in editing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, Lindsay Lohan. It's tough not to look at her and just sort of, like, sigh and be sad. Did you end up seeing The Canyons?
I did not, no.
I saw it actually in the theater with Dina Lohan two rows away, weirdly enough. And then I saw it again. It was on TV again recently. And I really will stand by the fact that, like, she does give a pretty good performance in that. Like, she still has it to a degree. Oh my god, this shirt. I always forget the shirt. Again, the costuming.
Yeah, like, about how oversized her shirt is.
It's three sizes too big. Well,
because it's Damien's.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because she didn't have anything pink. Like.
And Lacey Chabert is really funny in this movie.
She is.
And I watched this, I watched at least like the first half hour to try to prep for this.
Yeah.
I love how distracted Regina George is by her candy bar right now.
Yeah. reading the nutritional information. Yeah.
What I was going to say about Lacey is that the fetch joke.
Yeah.
Which starts right around here. I hadn't realized before how, speaking of payoffs and how consistent the movie is, that joke has, before the punchline of stop trying to make fetch happen,
yeah,
which everyone always quotes, there's several references. Like, she's doing it the whole movie until Regina has finally had it.
Right. It's almost like, it's a thing that I like in movies where you build up something to a point where even the audience is ready to comment on it, and then you have a character comment on it.
Yeah.
Which is just really funny. Oh my god.
That's like everybody the rules is of so feminism, perfect. Joe.
Oh god. And I love it's that thing in movies where every character gets their one trait, mm-hmm, that gets like leaned on,
Well, on TV too.
Gretchen's the gossip who can't like keep a secret, and Karen's super dumb, but they manage to spin it in so many different ways that you don't like care. And oh god, Kevin Napoor, one of the better total side characters in the movie. Like this
and
movie
he never
really
made another movie. Isn't that bizarre?
It is bizarre. It's really interesting. This cast is very like heterogeneous when it comes to like some people had really huge careers after, and some people like had little medium sized careers, and then some people just didn't at all. And it makes for a great, like, where are they now look. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, the you don't think of a teen comedy as something of, like, a triumph in costuming because, like, it's not, like, period or anything like that. Right. But it's just those little touches, man. Get in, loser. We're going shopping. I fucking love that. Oh, my God. Again, it's just perfect. See, the way Rachel McAdams plays Regina,
uh-huh,
it's, she could have so easily made her like this unbelievable monster. Yeah. And again, she keeps her just on the side of why people would hang out with her.
Uh-huh.
And she like, it's just enough of that requisite, like, personableness, mm-hmm, and sort of like social chair aspect, but it's just with the meanest, like, mm-hmm, veneer on it.
And here we have we're referencing back to Africa again.
Right, right. I always forget that they have these actual, like, reverie scenes. I never quite can. Do we know where this is supposed to be taking place? Is this?
It's also in Chicago.
Really?
Because they reference Katie's or Kat. I'm going to call Catty. You Catty. They reference Katie's mom as getting a job at Northwestern University.
Oh, okay.
So, which is why they moved from Africa. So, but it is a really bizarre thing about teen comedies because they're almost always in Illinois.
Yeah.
Like the entire John Hughes filmography.
Right.
And, well, they're almost always in the Midwest because Heather's is Ohio.
Yeah.
And this is back in Chicago.
But, and I'm going to look it up right now, but it almost certainly was filmed in Los Angeles and the surrounding areas, mm-hmm, yes?
Probably, yeah.
And I feel like the malls are always a dead giveaway. Like,
right, yeah, it looks more like a California mall than a
It looks like a California mall. Yeah, exactly. Oh, here's Milkshake, my beloved Milkshake.
Yeah.
Bringing all the boys to the yard. Filming locations.
We're about to meet not a regular mom, a cool mom.
Oh, can I tell you? Not a mall in California, not a mall in Chicago, a mall in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh.
Oh, God, Amy Poehler's so good in this movie. And again, keeping with the pink.
Yeah. And the characters are so well written in the sort of, like, broad strokes way.
Yeah. Yes.
That you know she's already keyed into that they wear pink on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, she's not just doing it because she likes pink.
Yeah, no, God, that whole, like, and the whole, like, I'm cool mom.
Yeah.
And that Regina hates her.
Yeah.
That Regina absolutely can't stand her, because, of course, that's how it goes.
Speaking of, we were talking about costuming, but hello set design, too, because, like, the big princess.
Yeah.
Over her bed.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, totally.
And you know that the set decorator had so much fun making these, like, collages on the walls.
Yeah. Oh, God, wouldn't you? Also, is that an Avril poster behind her? Because that is such a sign of the times.
Yeah.
I'm fairly like certain that's an Avril poster.
Do you watch Inside Amy Schumer?
I do in clip form, like, uh-huh. when, like, the individual sort of sketches end up on the internet, but I don't watch it regularly, even though I should, because I think it's fantastic.
Well, there's this really, really funny sketch where these girls are complimenting each other, and they all...
Oh, I saw that.
And it reminds me of the scene. She's like, I didn't realize, you know, like, when yeah. They're all saying terrible things about themselves in the mirror. Oh, God, honey, no.
I love that. If you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it under this roof where I can be around you. It's so, like, you know this person. Like, yeah. For as ridiculous as she is, you know the roots of this person. Oh, God, I'm like dog biting on her tit.
I love that she looks down at her tit when she says, fix your hair, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, Rachel McAdams is so, like, she's on in yeah. every scene. There's no phoning it in. Like, even when she's in the background, if you watch her, she's doing little things that are really Regina and really funny.
It's one of the things I like
Trey
about...
Pack. I love Trey Pack, I'm sorry. Speaking of the whole anthropological survey, the Burn Book also helps that.
You get oh, yeah.
this whole universe of this high school.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think all of the names are perfect, like Amber D'Alessandro and
yes, yeah.
Chang Pak.
Oh, God. And, oh, fuck, there's a billion really, really good ones. Seth Mozakowski. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all really good stuff. Those bitches.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Of everybody in this cast, the one who I'm so most happy got the career that they got is Lizzie Kaplan. Yeah. Even though she's still probably, like, on the ascent. Like, yeah. But, like, now she's on Masters of Sex, and she's got this really, like, acclaimed role.
And she is brilliant on that show.
She's brilliant on that show. She's brilliant in this. Like, she's just absolutely wonderful.
But you're right. This is the type of role that it can go either way. Like, you might have yeah. never seen her again.
And she never got typecast as this type of person either, which is really interesting. Like, casting directors were very willing to see the whole Lizzie Kaplan, which I thought was great.
Sometimes older people make jokes, Joe.
Your Nana and I have that in common. It's my favorite, one of my top 10 lines from this movie. And actually, top 10 lines from this movie is probably a very competitive listicle to write, because there are so many.
Yeah, but I think you would have to watch it thousands of times to really make firm decisions there.
Your Nana and I have that in common. Ah, oh, it's so good. It's so fantastic.
And, you know, I love 30 Rock, like, so much.
Yeah.
But this movie always makes me a little sad that Tina Fey, when she's in movies, that she hasn't written them. Because yeah. the movies she makes are just so nothing compared to this one.
Yeah. Did you see Admission?
No. But, like, I'm thinking primarily of things like Date Night, which is,
yeah.
it's, like, mildly amusing.
It's fine. Date Night's fine. Yeah.
But it's just, like, the writing is just never sharp the yeah. way her writing is, you know?
Yeah. And, like, before this movie, like, there were three-way call gags and sort of set pieces before yeah. this movie. But this movie kind of perfected them, yes or no?
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's true, right? Like,
my best friend, Will, who you've met, yes. he always, like, pretends to be doing a three-way call attack. Like, all the time still, like, 10 years later.
Like, when you'll say something about a third party, yes. and you're like, oh, you didn't realize that such yeah. and such is on the phone.
He always yeah. brings it back to this movie somehow when we're on the phone, if there's gossip about someone else.
It's really amazing how this movie has become cultural currency, maybe more than anything else in its era, right? Yeah. Maybe, I guess, we can say among our particular, you know, strata of demographics, but, like,
well, And like,
listen, if it's popular among girls and gay guys, and it's popular among everybody, is what I'm saying. So like, just deal with it, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Samuels again.
I know. That slightly too baggy long sleeve. Like, yeah. I'm going to keep going back to costuming because you brought it up. Ugh, and a film strip. My God, a film strip.
Well, the telephone to stuff in this, and I forget what movie I was watching the other day, and it's so weird how telephones used to just be like this thing you never thought of in movies.
Yeah.
And now they always date a movie.
Well, yes, because the technology has leaped up. Yeah, was this the last gasp of landlines in movies?
Yeah, right around this year, I think.
It had to have been, right? Like, yeah. You couldn't have gone much past 2004 and be credible with girls talking on the phones on landlines in their bedrooms.
Yeah.
End of an era.
Yeah.
Sad face.
Cruel.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So did you see this?
Girl never took off, just like Fetch never took off.
That's true. Oh God, it's so sad.
What were you about to ask? I'm sorry.
Did you see this in the theater?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I feel like this is one where, like, a lot of people saw it in the theater, but then it was when it came to DVD that it really sort of blew up.
And this is totally true about girls dressing up like sluts on Halloween.
Oh, sexy Halloween? Yeah. This is one of the things that, like, takes me back to the book, because, like, oh, the ultra-rare Regina's dad shot.
I don't really get that shot. Is he supposed to be, like, upset that she's a whore?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not a coincidence that we don't see Regina's dad after that shot. Maybe they just didn't know what to make of him, so they only had him in that one.
True story. I once went to a Halloween party as a zombie bridesmaid.
Did you? Nice. Yeah. And was everybody else?
And it was before Mean Girls. Amanda Seyfried is so good at physical comedy, and I always forget that because she hasn't really been doing it.
She hasn't been asked to, yeah.
Yeah.
Not nearly enough physical comedy in Les Miserables, I will tell you that much.
Well, I don't know. There is that scene where she's, you know, gazing off at, in the middle distance with the butterflies around her.
Yeah, totally. Of a whole thing about Seth Mosakowski being her second cousin. So it doesn't count.
Yeah, and I love how gentle they are with Karen, too. Like, no.
Oh my God. Yeah, this was a very realistic seeming house party. And
yeah,
movies don't always get that entirely right.
Her makeup is like perfect, too.
Yeah, it really is.
We're doing that thing in commentary where the actors get distracted by the movie.
Yeah!
And listen, suddenly there's no, like, commentary.
There's nothing happening whatsoever. You people who are only listening to the podcast and not watching the movie are probably riveted by this.
Right?
I remember being somewhat scandalized when I found out that that Rachel McAdams was not a blonde.
Yeah.
That she, like, sort of, like, subsequently followed this up with movies where she wasn't this, like, severe blonde.
Yes.
Because she just so completely, like, represented as this. Mm-hmm. It really, like, I've talked about her career a lot, and I will continue to do so, but, like, it's so rare that someone is able to follow up a big breakthrough like this with something like The Notebook, which is also a huge hit, mm-hmm, and doesn't pigeonhole her in the same character type that she had in the previous movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's so rare, and it's such, like, an advantage, and the fact that it happened and still her career kind of didn't skyrocket the way I maybe would have wanted it to.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer because, like, she had it right there. And it's not like her career is done. She's still, you know, in movies, and she's still quite castable.
Yeah. That little moment where Lindsay reacts there in voiceover, the slut, when she kisses her, is a very Freaky Friday moment. Like, it's a little oversized for this performance.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Oh my God, and he's on Homeland.
I know, it's the guy from Homeland.
Yeah, Shane Omar, or whatever his name is in this movie.
Yeah. This movie did well with
voice. Is that Friday the 13th that's showing on the TV?
It might be. I'm trying to
tell. It's some 80s slasher, right?
It definitely is some 80s slasher movie, for sure. Oh, God.
Oh, Caddy. She still call her Caddy, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so surprised that, like, I guess it just sort of, like, speaks to the dearth of roles of the Damien type in movies, that mm-hmm. he wasn't cast subsequently. I remember he was in, like, one other thing maybe right after this that
he's, like, in that letter he said he got a lot of offers like this role and he didn't keep repeating them, yeah.
God damn it, internal homophobia.
Yeah.
Have you seen photos of him, by the way, currently? He's so incredibly attractive.
Yeah, he did age well, yes.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for you.
I think Aaron Samuels aged really well, too. Jonathan
yeah.
Bennett.
Yeah.
Not that that's hard when you have perfect bone structure.
When you're starting from that position. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's all downhill, you're still better looking when you're older than most people.
Yeah.
I love how weird that hug is.
Yeah. There's really, weirdly a lot going on inside the Gretchen Wieners character, yes. which I find, like, somewhat fascinating.
And she doesn't get the respect?
She is. I mean, she's the Heather Duke in many respects.
Yes.
Without the sort of third act turn towards villainy.
Yeah, and look
at that look on her face, yeah. on Regina's face, when she's like, it's so perfect.
I do
look at Aaron Samuels' face during this whole, like...
He really commits.
He's a fucking psycho. It's amazing. Yeah.
He says people still say this to him every day.
Oh, yeah?
Sexy pushback, yeah.
Well, and this hair, that hairstyle, really indicative of the moment in time that that was happening. God, and they like, going back into the catalog for Blondie at this moment is sort of like a... nod towards, like, you can like this movie too, even if you're not 15 years old. Like, right. We're going to give you permission to enjoy this movie, early 30s demographic.
Not that the Good. Gays ever need permission to enjoy
No, it. Not at all. But, like, as far as...
I love that Aaron Samuels is suddenly part of their table, too.
Yes, yeah.
Even though they don't have rules about the guys, and you know that they're, like, shifting... just so that Regina can, like, dangle him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, I love this, too. That she cuts off the boobs in her shirt, and then Regina just makes it happen. Like, that's so... that says volumes about...
that expression on Amber... is that Amber D'Alessandro?
I always forget
the names of the...
Yeah. But, like, that it becomes a trend.
Yeah.
It's maddeningly perfect. We've only done is make Regina's face smell like a foot. God, how fucking angry would we have been if this had been SAG nominated and the people who would have been omitted were omitted?
Because they're all, like, so great in it.
Like, we might have burned down the internet, whatever stage it existed right then.
Janice Ian's costuming it's almost like if you go one classic by decade or whatever, it's very Ally Sheedy Breakfast Club, only she's, like, way more self-possessed, you know?
I was going to say it's a little bit, it's like an ostentatious Darlene Connor.
Mm,
like if Darlene Connor had a flair for the dramatic more than she did.
Yeah. Well, and it's a little bit like Veronica Sawyer if she wasn't hanging with the...
Right.
I love, like, putting all these movies in dialogue with each other.
No,
all the
I
Gene
do
classics.
Too. Oh, God, and why are you so obsessed with me as a defense against somebody you don't like?
It's
such a classic. It's so perfectly Regina.
I love this whole
she
lesbian
was a
monologue.
Lesbian. Yeah.
There would be going to be girls there in bathing suits. One of the most popular posts I ever did at the Film Experience was when Lindsay Lohan was dating that DJ, that girl.
Yeah.
And I redid this whole monologue as talking about Lindsay with it being a lesbian, and it was super popular. I meant it with love.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that Lindsay didn't stay a lesbian, so that
I know
I could repost it for the anniversary.
It was a good relationship for her, I have decided in my mind, from no evidence more than what's been publicly available to me. But that little moment that we just saw, where Katie, like, sees Regina compliment someone and then immediately tear her down behind her back, is such a true-to-life moment when you're friends with somebody who is maybe a cutting person.
Yes, uh-huh.
And you sort of have that dawning of just like, oh, wait, I can't trust any compliment this person gives me. Oh, God, it's the Glenn Coco scene.
Oh, yeah.
Let's pay attention to the Glenn Coco scene. This, none for Gretchen Wiener's by, I maybe use once every 2 days, and I'm not even exaggerating. It's the most versatile, like, kind of a burn you want to give somebody. And none for Gretchen Wiener's by.
And how thoroughly it pulls the rug out from under her is beautiful.
But also, we have to give Glenn Coco his due, because
yes.
Good for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco. Again, with the names, just, you know, it makes you very, very curious as to the inner life of this Glenn Coco.
Yeah, I mean, I have imagined, this is when I know a movie's working on the grander scale, is when you can imagine whole, like, side short films or side movies about the same place and universe.
Yep.
Like, I would just love, like, a little side movie about the unfriendly Black Hotties.
Oh, God, I forgot that he sings Beautiful.
Oh, I always... Yeah, there's parts I forget, too.
Yep. And doesn't somebody throw something at him at some point?
Yeah.
It is one thing about this movie, and I know I come at it from a very specific demographic place, but, like, they could have maybe taken Damien's specific struggles a twinge more seriously in this movie.
Yeah.
Where, like, they play this totally for a joke when it's just like, man, like,
he's really putting himself out there.
Physically assaulted by these guys.
But he throws it back.
But he throws it back, exactly. So, like, that's good. Yeah. Where do you think they got these pleather, sexy Santa outfits?
Oh, from Regina's mom.
Yeah, probably true. She probably has a closet full of them. Just on the off occasion that her daughter and her friends wanted to do this particular thing. Oh, God, Kevin G.
My theory is that the cool mom actually has updated them through the years, because they say that they do that Jingle Bell Rock at every talent show.
Yeah. That's right. That's true.
So
yeah,
she's
probably
upgraded to the sexy leather as they got older.
Yeah, she definitely, like, she takes much more ownership of that routine, that yearly routine, than we even realize. And I love Tina Fey playing the piano-playing teacher. Like, we've all had that teacher.
Yeah.
Oh my God, these costumes, though. Oh, foreshadowing of the Kevin G. Janice Ian hookup.
Which comes from nowhere for me.
It does. But also not entirely out of the question.
Yeah, right.
Because Janice has it going on.
I just realized, are those light bulbs at the end of the Santa
hat? Oh, they seem to be. Do they ever light up? Does that ever pay off?
I don't think so.
Boy.
I suddenly realized they aren't puffballs.
Anton Chekhov is pissed at this movie now. You can't introduce light bulb Santa hats in one act and not pay them off later.
This is why I think that she did the costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Because she knows all the choreography and she has her camcorder.
Yep. God, it's so Pussycat Dolls. Like,
yeah.
Do you think Anne Hathaway auditioned for this movie?
Huh.
Like, she would have been exactly the right age,
yeah,
right?
Probably. I've been always fascinated to know more about Anne Hathaway's relationship with other actresses.
Me too.
Because I remember before she was, like, sort of, like, the superstar, but she did rapidly ascend, of course. But
yeah.
She was at the Oscars 1 year, and she was talking to a reporter, because sometimes she's unguarded with reporters.
Yeah.
And she was talking about her arch enemy, and then she sort of, like, laughed it off, but it seemed like a very Mean Girls moment where, like, there's a lot of catfighty things with actresses.
I would die to know who's her arch enemy.
Yeah.
Like, okay, do you want to know some, according to IMDb, almost castings?
Oh, sure.
Scarlett Johansson auditioned for Karen.
Wow.
Ashley Tisdale auditioned for Karen. Ashley Tisdale, by the way, I don't know, I was not a High School Musical person. I was too old for that. But I feel like Ashley Tisdale is on the cusp always of, like, becoming an actress that, like, people of our demographic would be really into. Mm. And James Franco, apparently, was considered for the role of Aaron Samuels.
Wow.
Which would have been a very different thing, I would think.
Was this around the time of Freaks and Geeks? I'm trying to place the year.
It was probably a good 5 years after Freaks and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks was, like, right around the turn of the century.
Wow. Okay. Oh, yeah. Stop trying to make fudge happen.
And apparently Amanda Seyfried was originally supposed to play Katie.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such a different part.
Yep.
But maybe in there you can see the kernel of this. She was going to have a big career.
And initially, Lindsay Lohan was cast as Regina.
Wow.
That's really interesting how different it could have been. Can you imagine, like, a movie where Amanda Seyfried is Katie, Lindsay Lohan is Regina, and Scarlett Johansson is Karen?
Oh, like, my God. That's such a fuckover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still Lacey Chabert, because Lacey Chabert was the choice from the beginning, apparently. I don't know. Like,
well, yeah, because she's way up in the cast list, too.
Yeah. They were like, we need to have that Party of Five magic, much like Scream did with Neve Campbell.
Yes.
She's really good in this.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to forget about her because she's the one who didn't blow up after. But
yeah, and I do think that with acting in high school movies, people don't realize how difficult the tone is for this genre.
Yeah.
Because there are movies that people like that just show how difficult it is, and I'm just going to say the name Easy A.
Yeah.
Because basically the only person who is 100% on in that movie is Emma Stone.
Well, of the teen people. Because I that movie for me is Patricia Clarkson and Stanley Tucci.
Right, but the whole high school, like the performances are tonally all over the place.
God, what's her face?
Homeland.
Oh, God, Homeland in his underpants. Hey.
Mandy Patinkinhalla.
Oh, God. But Amanda Bynes in Easy A is who I'm thinking of, who is just, like, so terribly not good. They did a fake mugging.
Yeah.
In a high school hallway.
And, like, everybody wouldn't know that was Damien.
First of all, A plus for Damien for outrunning Aaron Samuels for as long as he did in this. Like,
Train Pack is a Grotsky little biatch.
Oh, God, Calteen bars.
It dawns on Janice.
I know.
Plan.
God, I want a Janice Ian movie right now. What is she doing right now? Where is she in her life? Where did she move to after she graduated high school?
It's horrifying that there exists a Mean Girls 2. Just like it's horrifying that there exists all those Bring It On sequels.
Nathaniel, I don't know what you're talking about. Mean Girls 2 does not exist. That's crazy talk. I don't know. Like, stop. Stop making things up.
I think
I love her necklace. That R necklace is such a Carrie Bradshaw, like, oh my God, I love it. But again, that whole thing where, like, Katie wanted Regina to like her even as she hated her, like,
yeah,
that's so baked into Rachel McAdams' performance.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you want to see her completely, like, disregarded because she's so great. This scene, too, I know some people take issue with, like, the slapstickiness of her falling into the garbage can after they walk down the hall, but, like, A, I am a sucker for that shot of bitchy teenage girls walking down a hallway.
In slow-mo. Don't forget slow-mo. The slow-mo.
I love it in Jawbreaker. They do in GBF, which is the same director as Jawbreaker, they do, like, an homage to that shot. Uh-huh. And it's with, like, the gay kid at the center of it, and it's just so perfectly fantastic. But this thing, just the way her legs kick out of that garbage can makes me laugh every single time.
This moment seems like Lindsay, like, a few years later.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally. My roommates and I threw a housewarming one time, and we did, on the Facebook invite, We did that shot of the Mean Girls where I did, like, an arrow to Regina as me, an arrow to Karen as my one roommate, an arrow to Gretchen as the other, and then I just pointed to Lindsay's leg sticking out of the garbage can, and I just put you.
That's a Mean Girl.
That is invite. A Mean Girl. That's a Mean Girl invite. God, Janice Ian's hair clips for president, you guys. Like, come
on. Oh, this is like...
Oh, see, and this is like straight out of the book, too. This is always the stuff that, like, reminds me of the book, is the girls dumbing themselves down in class to make the boy like her. Like, look at her hair in that. That is such completely, like, circling the drain hair.
We're coming up on one of my very favorite Lindsay scenes.
Oh my gosh.
I love the shift in Lindsay's performance here too, where she's becoming Regina.
Yeah. She plays it very well and not clunkily at all. Is this the scene you're talking about? Where she's
It's like, maybe we missed it because it's the whole, like, what, do you think I'm stupid?
Yeah.
About, like, where she invites him over.
Yeah.
I just think she's really dazzling in that scene.
Yeah. But, like, now all of a sudden her hair is this weird, like, she's, like, doing shit to it, but she's not quite, like, she's not adept enough at being a girly girl in, like, modern society yet to do it well. So it just looks kind of, like, dirty and gross. I like that little touch. And again, it sort of presages the trashy Lindsay.
Yeah.
That would happen almost immediately hereafter. Like...
Yeah.
She probably had a good year of Afterglow from this movie, and then, like...
Well, because it was a big hit, and then Freaky Friday right before it was a big hit.
Yeah. I blame Wilmer Valderrama, as I blame for most things. Oh my God, Lacey Chabert, I love you so much.
This is like the reveal of this podcast.
It is.
That
it
we really
is.
Love her in this.
That we secretly love her maybe the best out of everybody. Karen saying you want to go to Taco Bell. With that same sort of, like, wide-eyed look on her face that she does when she's deciding that it's raining because her her breasts can tell her what the weather is like.
It's, like, Amanda's eyes in this movie just, like, kill me.
Is that siren coming from your end?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You live in a hardscrabble part of town where there are sirens daily.
Yeah, and they're not pleased that we're looking back at 10-year-old movies. You're supposed to stay in the now.
Who's going to win the Oscar this year? Tell us! There's a 70% chance that it's already raining.
Press pause now. It's an impromptu intermission. The file is getting too big. Please proceed to part 2 of the podcast.